What we're going to pick up first up is the issue of affirmative action, which is not new. I mean, the affirmative action is 1994, so like 30 years old, isn't it? Or thereabouts. Now, AfriForum, they've had many things to say around the issue of affirmative action, but they've taken their thoughts, or could I say their opposition to it, a step further. They've submitted comments to the Department of Employment and Labour regarding draft regulations on proposed sectoral numerical race targets. So what does that really mean? At the centre of it, AfriForum argues that racially discriminating legislation should be scrapped by the government. Well, in general, and in all facets of society, looking at sport, education, employment, basically everything. So let's try and understand what they've done this time around and the implications thereof with the AfriForum's head of public relations, Ernst van Zyl. Ernst, appreciate your time, and you're now connected to the National Pulse.
Good afternoon. I think this is an important topic, so thank you for the opportunity.
Right. So what have you done? What's the bottom line to what has been sent and submitted to the Department of Labour?
Right. So this is a comment opportunity. There's many of these types of opportunities when it comes to draft regulations. And this was once again one of those opportunities where the public is invited, and this is organizations or individuals, to give submit comments to the department regarding a specific legislation or policies. And in this case, it is the numerical race targets. And this is for the Department of Employment and Labour. So AfriForum, as an organisation that takes a strong stance against racially discriminatory policies, is in a firm position to utilise these types of opportunities to be part of the debate and part of the discussion. And that's what we did with by submitting our comments today to the department.
And I understand the deadline for the comments is May 2nd. So the submission to comments goes to the Department of Labour. Is that part of an exercise from their side where they rethinking the process? I mean, who's driving this process?
So this is from the side of the Department of Employment and Labour. With most draft regulations and bills, there's usually this type of opportunity for comment from the public. So this is from their side, opening the opportunity for comments from the public to give their inputs regarding specific draft regulations, what form it should take, submitting maybe even potentially criticisms. This is an opportunity for people to voice their opinion on policy direction and the future of legislation.
Okay, now you and I can talk about this issue for an hour, and you know that, right? We have to shrink it into 5 minutes, right? What is your understanding of the current affirmative action policy and implementation, and what in your submission have you proposed differently?
Right. So South Africa has had racially discriminatory policies for decades now. You put that in the introduction correctly to this segment. And these are sectoral targets where there's racial targets for employment sectors. It's just another symptom of it, or a version of it. And in this regard, this is pretty much just an example of racial bean counting, where a sector has to hire a certain amount of every race to be a demographically representative. But as you said earlier correctly, this is not something new. This has been going on for decades in South Africa, and these types of policies might have names that sound very noble, and name like affirmative action or redress, but they are not achieving what they set out to achieve. They pretty much just create a small elite that benefit from these types of policies, basically cronyism, and the people that suffer in the end are the vast majority of people that are left out of, that are not part of this exclusive club. And at the same time, it also completely harms South Africa's credentials as calling itself a non-racial society or a non-racial country, seeing as you can't call yourself a non-racial society if you have this type of racially discriminatory policies. One of the examples, maybe just to, again, as you say, to unpack it for the audience, is where we heard from Dis-Chem a few years ago, where they said they're putting a moratorium on the hiring or promotion of white South Africans. And that's just an example of the the unjustifiable outcomes that sprout from these types of racially discriminatory policies. And AfriForum says it's high time that these policies are given a deadline, where after that deadline is reached, they are phased out.
Okay, let me ask you this. I mean, first of all, in terms of you quoting me, quoting the introduction, I certainly didn't necessarily say that I agree that the policies are racially discriminatory. In fact, I quoted AfriForum's position, which is what you believe, right? But you've explained why. My question then is, you call it racial discrimination. Many people, and certainly people with strong human rights policies and activism, they call this a leveling off of discrimination, which took place before. And if it's 30 years and beyond, it's really because it's taken that long to try and achieve a leveling off. I mean, does that not make sense to you?
I think what we are dealing with here is the question of means versus ends. So on the one side, people can say, well, this is what these policies are trying to achieve. That is the ends. But on the other side, there is, what are these policies, the means? What means are going to be used to achieve these ends or to achieve these objectives? Now, the objectives may be described as affirmative action or redress of the past, but the means, what is being used to get to these outcomes, is racial discrimination. Now, there is a debate regarding whether this is justifiable or not. AfriForum says it's not justifiable, but at the end of the day, the means being used and employed here are policies that mandate racial discrimination. As I said earlier, we see so many examples of this manifesting in our society, where the South African political and social environment has become very race obsessed. We are not moving towards a non-racial society.
But you say
we
we've become
stuck in a racial mindset.
Well, you say we become race obsessed. I mean, of course, I'm going to argue with you differently. In fact, we've been race obsessed since the implementation of apartheid and even the period before that. So, all I'm trying to get understand is we are the children, you and I, of a race obsessed society that has been race obsessed for a very long time, long before the current ruling or governing party, isn't
it? Yes, and that's why we that's why I took the position in our press statement that South Africa has been a racially discriminatory society for over 100 years now. But a lot of people deny the fact that we have continued to remain a race obsessed society into the 21st century, and that is thanks to this type of racially discriminatory policies.
All right.
Being
so,
pursued
in
by
your
the government.
In your submission, do you agree that because of race obsessed policies for a long, long time, we actually have this very, very unequal society, which primarily is premised on race lines? It's the fault lines are very obvious, right? Do you agree with that, firstly?
Well, South Africa struggles with a myriad of problems. I mean, crime, unemployment, there's so many problems that touch every South African almost on a daily basis. But the question is, how do you address these issues? And the way that you address them...
No, but before that, sorry to interject. I just want to get clarity on your understanding, okay? Because you have a case, and I want to hear what your case is. I'm saying to you, do you agree that in terms of this discriminatory policy that existed for a long time, the fault lines, therefore, of South Africa is largely based upon race, primarily because of what happened before? And that's why the need to redress.
Well, when it comes to the legacy of the past, I think it would be naive to say that there is no legacy left of past policies in South Africa from the previous regime. But the critical question then comes in, where does the legacy of the new South Africa or the new government of South Africa come in? And I think after 30 years, there's a very strong case to be made that there is already a very strong legacy, a legacy of failure in many regards of the new government of South Africa under the leadership of the ANC. And that's one of the core arguments in AfriForum's comments, is that without a fixed date for racially discriminatory legislation to be brought to an end, the vicious cycle of government failure and the push for more racially discriminatory policies continues.
Is your issue understandable? I hear what you're saying around affirmative action. Is that premised largely on the legacy of the failure of of the ruling party, as in terms of their implementation, that's wrong, or is the principle wrong? What I'm suggesting, therefore, is that, you know, the principle could still be correct, what it was 30 years ago and now, of redress, but the ANC as the ruling party, and I think with due respect to them, because there's many examples of that, they've implemented so many policies incorrectly, and we find these problems. So isn't this an ANC problem, but actually not an affirmative action and equality problem?
Well, there you're touching on the very crux, the very core of the debate, and it's very simple. The stance from AfriForum's side is that a government mandates or pressure on businesses or any place of employment to use racially discriminatory policies when it comes to employment was wrong in the past, but because it was wrong in the past, it's also principally wrong in the present, and that's why AfriForum opposes it in the present, as we do oppose it, the use of racially discriminatory employment policies in the past.
All right. Well, what then is your solution? I mean, what's your workable solution for a person listening, and there could be white people affected by these policies, and there are black people affected by these policies, listening, and maybe you're stating a good case, but they want a workable solution where there is redress, but maybe not as defined as the ruling party has defined it. So what's your solution in your submission?
Absolutely. So I think the at the root of the solution is to fix the dysfunctional education system of South Africa, the education system that has been dysfunctional now for so many decades on end. What it is producing is, in the end, the horrific unemployment crisis that we find ourselves in. And I think at the very core of it is the approach of the education system. So the South African education system currently is focused on creating job seekers. While there should be a change in perspective that our education system should be producing job creators, I went to a public school in South Africa, and my entire experience of education was that I am being educated to become a job seeker, not to become a job creator. But there's so many other angles that can also be taken to actually make a big difference in our education sector. Mm-hmm. One of them also is to tackle problems where we still in 2024 have thousands of students, I don't know exactly the statistics, of students that go to schools that still use pit toilets, that don't even have basic infrastructure.
Fair point.
These things need to be fixed.
Let me wrap this up. We got 30 seconds to wrap up. Here's the thing, right? If we hear what you're saying, and about maybe rethinking the entire education system, in fact, I think everybody would raise their hands and agree with you on that point there. But as you would think about a rugby or a football team, that can take 12, 15 years before you actually produce the type of match winner that we need in the country. So that may be the long-term vision. I certainly pray there's a rethink around education. But in the short term right now, I mean, can we not concede that there's still vast gulfs between the haves and the haves-not, and they are premised upon colour, and therefore you need to have the long-term fix of a rethink, but in rugby terms or football terms, you need to get a star player in quickly to change things, and that person must reflect what's needed in that team. So in this case here, what do we do about black players right now? Black players, so we're talking about black people who are on the outside, and they can't wait another 15 years or so.
Well, you're completely correct when it comes to the fact that this is a long-term fix for a complex problem. But I mean, the best day to have started this approach was 30 years ago, then it was 20 years ago, then it was 10 years ago. Well, we have to start at some point in regards to changing the trajectory of, for example, fixing our education system. Should have happened 30 years ago, would have also been good to happen 20 years ago, even 10 years ago. But we're at the point where we have to start at some point, and we have to start now, so that in 10 years or 20 years, we're not still having the same conversation, as I said.
And that's where we're going to have to leave it there. Ernst, we're going to have to leave it there. My apology for that. Time has run out.
No problem.
Ernst van Zyl, in fact, time may run out. Does that run out in terms of the entire country's problems? Another question to think about as we head to Freedom Day on Saturday. Ernst van Zyl is the head of public relations at AfriForum.